RTI podcast on this Wednesday. Happy to be joined by Mike Wilson of the Knox News Sentinel. Covers baseball, college basketball, football, does everything for them. Mike, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Doing well. Happy to jump on here because we got some postseason baseball ahead of us at long last.
We got something to talk about besides football recruiting.
And I will take that every day of the week.
You got that right. No, I know, man. And kind of looking back on what, before we get into what Tennessee's doing this week in Knoxville, getting back to what Tennessee did last week in Hoover, after that Alabama loss and the way that they lost, were you surprised with the way Tennessee came back and run ruled two opponents and, you know, put themselves in a good position going into Championship Sunday?
No, I wasn't. The way that Tennessee lost was pretty tough, just with that interference call, you know, the emotions of thinking you won, then you lose, and just kind of the Hoover House of Horrors for Tennessee baseball for 15 years, basically. But the one thing about this team that we've seen, I think they've only had one two-game losing streak all year, and it was a doubleheader against Indiana State in February. They've done a really good job of not letting one loss turn into two, turn into three. So it's not really surprising you see them bounce back. But when you see this team lose, but then run rule Mississippi State, run rule the Alabama team that just beat them, then get a dominant pitching performance from Camden Sewell, you're like, dang, that's a little bit different than bouncing back. I mean, that's coming back with a vengeance. And it was pretty impressive to see.
Besides pitching last week, and I thought Tennessee's pitchers did pretty well. They rolled with six or seven of them on Sunday. And that would just have to be. But besides that, were you impressed with Liam Spence popping out of his, you know, kind of so-called slump? Or was it, you know, Luke Lipsius, who to me is like the best, you know, power hitter with a batting average of 240, you know, that I've seen for Tennessee? Who were some guys that stood out to you last week?
Yeah, on the mound, certainly Camden Sewell with what he did.
Right.
Blade Tidwell was awesome again for the fourth or fifth straight start. And that's been such a good development for Tennessee as they look ahead to next season. And he's likely that Friday night guy for them. So that was big. I thought what Jason Rackers showed against Arkansas in an inning and a third was nice, just because he's an arm that now they might feel more comfortable using in a regional setting. And in regionals, if you lose a game in regionals, you end up needing a lot of pitching to come back into it. And, you know, Tennessee saw that in 2019. They didn't really have the pitching to get back in, to fully get back in anyway. At the plate, yeah, Liam Spence getting out of it was nice. I thought Ferguson hit the ball well. For the most part, up and down the lineup, I thought people performed pretty well. Bottom part of the order played well. And but that's kind of been Tennessee's thing for probably the past month. They've just gotten a lot of balanced offense and a lot of guys contributing.
Mike, what is it about the bottom? And we talk about this a lot, but what is it about Tennessee's bottom of the lineup? You know, that 6-9, 5-9 type hitters that set them up so nicely, because it just seems like you don't have a drop off in this Tennessee batting lineup.
Well, the biggest thing is you got a guy like Jordan Beck hitting seventh.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
That was your cleanup hitter to open the year, and realistically could be your cleanup hitter right now. And that's the biggest thing to me. I mean, you got a guy like that who's a potential first, second round pick in next year's MLB draft hitting seventh for you. But that is what you see in the SEC, is you see that level of talent at the bottom of the lineup. You know, Connor Pavloni's been playing great, hitting great since he got back. So it's just been the way that those guys have really gotten it done. But yeah, kind of you look down their lineup, you know, after the top four, Evan Russell, Luke Lipschitz get it done. Jordan Beck, those guys all get it done. And Pete Durkee has been nice in the eighth spot. So you know, he hit a couple bombs in Hoover. So those guys have just gotten the job done. There's really no other way to look at it.
No, and I agree with you, and it's great. It's not crazy to see. It's just college baseball and how these guys put their lineups together. You know, and let's wrap up last week and let's talk about Sunday's, you know, SEC championship game performance. Tennessee having so many guys out there on the mound, that's just a strategy Tennessee was just going to have to play, right? With the cards that were decked against them, that they were just going to have to roll with six pitchers, right?
Yeah, I mean, Heflin wasn't going to go more than five in that game, I don't think. Right. And you kind of knew that. And, you know, Sewell was probably the next bullpen arm, but Sewell started the day prior. So he's eliminated from that mix right away. So, yeah, it seemed like Tennessee had a plan there. You know, I think they would have liked to see something better from Elijah Pleasance, but it's kind of been a weird plummet for him from Sunday starter to open the year to ineffective bullpen arm. And once he was out, they had to turn to Sean Hundley too early. And yeah, it just kind of spiraled on him a bit. But yeah, the plan definitely was always to, you know, the classic Johnny Allstaff phrase. That was what you kind of have to go with when you're playing your fifth game in 5 days. And
right,
I think Tennessee learned about a couple of guys there, good or bad.
Well, the good part about it is too, Mike, and you know this, I mean, you'll be able to talk on it. Getting those guys some experience as well in a high pressure situation, like against Arkansas, I think it's going to benefit them come, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Man, if they have to go to Monday, you know, which I don't know and I don't expect, but if they have to do that, at least you're getting experience for the postseason. And I guess that's something that Tony Vitello took into matter as well.
He did. And again, I think that's where you look at a guy like Jason Rackers and say, okay, didn't really know what you're going to get from him this season with how he came back from Tommy John. Wasn't the player you expected him to be, but saw him get in there and pump it at 95 over and over again against Arkansas. So you might have learned some things you can use guys for moving forward here. I think Christian Scott and Kyle Booker proved that they're reliable guys off the bench. They were trusted to go in against Kevin Copps. And I think Booker's 2 of 3 against Kevin Copps this season. So you kind of have a better grasp of some things that you might get from some other players as you head into the postseason here.
Mike, Tennessee gets the regional bid, and then they also line themselves pretty nice for a super regional if it comes down to it. For the whole season wrapped up and for Tennessee to get to this point, how surprising is it to you that Tennessee is sitting at the number 3 national seed? Was that something you were thinking about, you know, before the season, in a sense of, okay, this team can be top 8? Like, we think this team could be a top 8 national seed. Or were you thinking, okay, this team is tournament good, we just don't know how good they can be yet?
No, I think it was national seed good. But when you're talking about this team before the season, you're talking about a team with Jackson Leith as a weekend starter.
Correct. Yep.
And you're talking about Ben Joyce as a bullpen arm throwing upper 90s. And that's something that this Tennessee team doesn't have either. Coming out of the bullpen is that big time arm. So you're talking about two key pitchers that Tennessee didn't have. And I also think when you look at the way this season went, if you knew how Max Ferguson and Connor Pavlone, two of your top MLB prospects, were going to play for the first month and a half, you might not have felt as great about this season, but there were so many players that stepped up. I mean, obviously you're going to focus on Evan Russell when you're talking guys that stepped up. Drew Gilbert was really good early. Liam Spence has been phenomenal all season. So it's the way it's gone that's surprising to me to see them as the number 3 overall seed, but there's just an attitude and character to this team that they find a way to win and they get the job done. And, that's really got them where they are. Like we talked about earlier with the not having losing streaks. I mean, they bounce back. They don't let one loss become two. And that's a great recipe for success.
So going into Friday, Tennessee's going to play Wright State at 6:00. You'll have Liberty Duke playing earlier in the day on Friday. Were you surprised with the draw, bro? Looking at what Tennessee got in the national seed and how they were. And then what do you make of Tennessee's first game against Wright State, who, by goodness, they just put up a lot of runs.
Yeah, it's a loaded regional. Wright State leads the country in batting average, on-base percentage, and slugging percentage. I mean, they hit the ball, and they beat Tennessee 2 out of 3 games last season. That's kind of their thing. They're good at hitting the baseball. Liberty kind of does everything well. They field very well is kind of their hallmark, but they do a lot of things well. And Duke's pretty hot. They've won 12 games in a row, and I think they allowed 3 or 4 runs in 4 games in the ACC tournament to make a run to that title. So, you know, there's not really a slouch in there. And Tennessee does start off with Wright State, who hits the ball hard. And as we know, Tennessee throws strikes. And when you throw strikes, you risk getting hit. So it's an intriguing matchup from that perspective. And I'd imagine Tennessee goes with Chad Dallas. I know it hasn't been decided yet, or at least not publicly, but I don't know. There's always those interesting thoughts on the first game of a regional of, do you throw your ace? And I think Tennessee would be foolish to not throw Chad Dallas and at the least Blade Tidwell. I think you got to throw one of those two guys in this game.
Is this a situation, Mike, and I talked about this with somebody the other day, is this a situation where they could throw Dallas on Friday and then if they want to just go ahead and throw Tidwell on Saturday and just put Heflin on Sunday? Do you just – because you can't fall behind. You need to go ahead and grab those two wins as quick as possible. Is that a scenario you could see?
I think that's what I would do. That's my mindset too, is don't get in a loser's bracket, because it is hard to get back out. And, you know, at that point, then you're taxing your pitching. So I like setting yourself up well later in the weekend. And they trust Will Heflin, obviously. I mean, he was the first starter in the SEC tournament. They went back to him again for the title game. And that's a guy they trust, that feel comfortable with any day, obviously. But yeah, I think you go and get yourself the first two wins and then you're set up. You know, a team has to come in and beat you twice on Sunday.
What do you make of Tennessee's atmosphere and how the fan base is? And it's, I compare it to kind of when like Bruce Pearl kind of took over and he gave the basketball program like a jolt of energy. And all of a sudden you started seeing the fans come out and you started to see the arena fill up. You look at what Tony V's done, and we've seen a progression this year of fans just, you know, filling up Lindsey Nelson Stadium. And we can go back to so many different series this year where I thought they played a part in the environment when it came to the game as well and how it was played. What do you make of Tony Vitello's marketing skills and what Tennessee baseball and the guys like Sean Berrios and them have done this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think Tony Vitello does a great job of branding himself. Just with the personality and the attitude of it all. And that's shined through for the last 4 years. And I think the fan base has really latched onto that. But above anything else, you know, Tennessee, like any school, loves a winner. And, you know, with the way the football program's been, you're latching on to any winner that you can find. And baseball right now is the best thing Tennessee has going for it. So it's not a surprise to me to see the atmosphere and the buzz around this program. I think it stems from both of those things, both Tony Vitello and his personality, and also just the fact that this team is very fun. They do a great job out there and they go and win games. And yeah, fan bases will get behind a winner. If they get behind you, they're not going to leave. So it's been impressive to see the fan base this year.
Well, they're desperate. I mean, they want something to be able to cheer about. And I think that's another, you know, big reason why you've seen so many, you know, why a regional sells out in 4 hours, you know, and I think that's a big thing of what Tony Vitello continues to do. Let's stick with him, Mike. So Tennessee fans are nervous. Some of them are nervous. You know, we can try to talk them off a ledge all we want, but they're going to be nervous with jobs out there like A&M, LSU, maybe other potential jobs that open up after the season. You know, I've been told that Tennessee has done a very good job to let Tony Vitello know that they want him through his representation, talking about contracts and talking about stadium renovations and whatnot. What do you make of the chatter with Tony V, which I think is well earned, but also the response from the university?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're winning, you're going to get attention for those top jobs in the country. And, you know, I don't know if Texas A&M is a top 10 job. It's a SEC job, so it's a good job, but
right.
You know, LSU is a top 3, top 5 job for certain in the country. And when a job like that comes open, you typically get the pick of the litter. And yeah, I mean, that's one where you can throw anything and pluck anyone almost seemingly. So it's not a surprise to hear Tony Vitello's name attached to that, but it's also not a surprise to see Tennessee's response. You know, obviously baseball needs a bigger commitment to facilities, and that will be a part of anything that Tennessee does to keep Tony Vitello. But at the same time, you know, they've done what's necessary up to this point, I think. I think it's clear that Danny White's come in here and he's been at baseball. He's been around it. I've seen him after some games walk around the stadium with other athletic department people kind of looking and pointing at things. And, you know, I think it's clear that they're aware of what has to be done to improve the situation around baseball and keep a coach like Tony Vitello, who is going to be coveted for a lot of jobs, just because, I mean, let's put it bluntly, Tennessee baseball hasn't been a prominent program in almost 20 years. And even then it was a blip essentially from 10 years earlier. So it's been a while since Tennessee baseball has been a top dog in the SEC. So it's not surprising to hear their coach talked about as a potential candidate elsewhere just because of the way it's been.
Well, also, Mike, and I want your opinion on this. We're not just talking about stadium renovations by, you know, we're not talking about, you know, a double-decker left field picnic area. We're not talking about just stuff down the left field line or stands down the left field line, which will take a minute to build. You know, but we're also talking about, and this is why I want your opinion, we're talking about coaches' salaries. We're talking about money for Q, strength coach, Frank Anderson, Ross. I mean, we're getting down the line here of what Tony Vitello, you know, would like for his staff. What are some other things, in your opinion, that Tennessee could do, you know, to be able to incentivize Tony to, you know, not, you know, I don't want to say, okay, we're doing this where you don't leave, but they're kind of doing it where he doesn't leave. Like, what else could be done?
I mean, I think you hit it, though. I think it's the facilities and making it attractive for the assistant coaches. But on top of that, I would assume that Tony Vitello sees $1 million on his salary. I think, don't know that's a guarantee. He makes about 600K right now. But if you're willing to make a massive commitment to baseball and say, this is the way the program is going to be built and continue to go from here on out, I think it's a commitment you make in every single sense. And I think that's a commitment to Tony Vitello salary-wise. I think that's a commitment to assistant staff pool, because guys like Josh Uhlander are going to have head coaching opportunities. That's exactly going to happen at some point. And then you have to commit to the facilities. The facilities have to be better because they're in the bottom couple in the SEC right now. And I mean, that's a difficult thing to recruit to, because realistically, Tennessee baseball on the recruiting trail right now is everything to sell. They've got an attitude, program on the come up, a lot of winning, a lot of swag to it, got the coach. You got to have something better on campus as well to show our recruits. So yeah, I think it's a commitment they've got to show in every single way.
You can't keep bringing recruits to the front of the stadium. It looks so bad.
Correct.
And that's the biggest thing. You're having to bring them through the left field or right field line, you know, so that part's interesting. They've done some locker room stuff and some weight room stuff, Mike. Do you think that's something else that maybe needs to be upgraded a little bit, or do you think they're settled with that?
I'd assume there's a lot that will go into it. I don't know the specifics of that, but I think when you're talking right now with the stadium, you're certainly talking about what you're doing in left field, what you're doing in the patio area out behind left field, what you're doing to eventually end up with suites, because suites are a way that baseball can generate revenue with corporate sponsors. So I think you're looking at more of the external stuff now, because there has been a good bit of internal stuff done so far.
Okay, I'm going to kind of get your prediction, and then I want to ask you one or two questions about football and basketball. What do you think happened this weekend with Tennessee in the regional? Do you think this squad is ready to make it to a super?
I do. I'm not sure they roll through this undefeated, just because it is a loaded regional. Ideally, if you're Tennessee, you don't want to lose till late, just to not have to fight back out of the loser's bracket early. But yeah, it's a loaded regional. I mean, there's three good teams in there.
It's tough. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it's not one where you're like, easy peasy for them to roll through. But at the same time, Tennessee's shown they can smash anyone. So who knows? I think they emerge from it. And I think they're ready for it. They've kind of shown that throughout the whole season. It seems like they're ready for this.
All right, let's go over just to the football and basketball just for a second. The month of June is the wacky month because the dead period has ended. You know, football can host recruits, basketball can host recruits. What's the biggest thing in your opinion? And I know this is a broad question, but I don't really know how else to ask it. In your opinion, what does Josh Heupel have to do and his staff in the month of June? Is this more about, hey, let me introduce myself, this is who I am? Or do they just have to make a full run at some of these guys just because their recruiting board is so messed up?
I think it's a combination of both. I certainly think just getting kids on campus again is so important, and being able to, for this staff, kind of show who they are, I think is an important thing, just because it's a newly assembled staff. And at this point, you haven't been able to have kids on campus for actual visits. So you're getting a chance to show kids around, meet them, kind of show them what you're about, I think is a really big deal. Because to me, you know, Tennessee's got the facilities, the stadium, the stuff to sell, but there's been so much coaching staff turnover. At some point, kids have to come here and say, I really like this staff, I'm going to play for them. And I think we've seen Heupel's a pretty nice guy, certainly handles the media differently than previous staffs and administrations
have.
And, you know, if he carries that same attitude over to recruits, which by all accounts he does, that's a selling point. You know, I think the phrases they keep using on social media are fast, fun, and real. And those last two things are just, you know, it's interesting to hear the words fun and real attached to a coaching staff. But that seems like the attitude they have.
I mean, I agree with you. They've got the last two catchphrases are interesting to say the least. Hey, basketball, big month for Tennessee basketball when it comes to getting some big names on campus. You know, when it comes to, you know, Edwards or Wallace. I mean, it's a stacked lineup. And you know what's interesting to me, Mike, is they're all four or five stars that are coming in, and it shows the reach Tennessee has assembled underneath this staff to go out and be able to get these guys to come on campus. What's it going to be in the month of June for Tennessee basketball, and how important is it?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I think Tennessee has found a sweet spot in recruiting, of recruiting highly regarded prospects, but also prospects who want to be developed, because that's what Tennessee's staff and Rick Barnes have proven they can do with guys like Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield and Jordan Bone. They developed those guys. And I think the attitude you've seen from, you know, the 4-5-star guys that Tennessee is getting is saying, I'm good, but I can get better. And these are guys who can get me better. And I think that's worked well. But yeah, they've picked up the pace, man. I mean, since Josiah Jordan James, it's been a recruiting powerhouse, which is really interesting to watch. And, you know, the interesting part with basketball right now is obviously two new assistant coaches in here with Rod Clark and Justin Gainey. So it's kind of a new situation where kids are coming in and meeting new people and encountering new people. And that's just the same with football. That's going to be a big deal for, I think, those prospects to get in here and see what those people are about now with the new staff.
But the future's bright, Mike. Like, that's the interesting part about this. Like, of all the guys that are coming on campus, I think Tennessee can land one, two, if they get lucky, three of them. And you're not talking like this 3 years ago. Like, is it – and I'm going to add on to that question. Is it surprising to you – and I know that Tennessee's had the success, but you're looking at players now that Tennessee fans were praying that you could get on campus for a visit, and these guys are actually – talking about playing for Rick Barnes. I think some fans still have a hard time grasping that.
It has been quite the impressive rise. And I think that, again, just goes back to looking at, you know, when Josiah Jordan James signed, it was like, oh my gosh, Tennessee got a 5-star. And then the 2020 class, you get two of them with another high 4-star guy. It's not surprising to me, though, because when you have success and when you have the facilities and you have the stuff to sell and the conference you're in, the postseason, all the things you've got, it's not that surprising. And I think what we've seen too is the level of 5-star guards has been a big thing, just because Rick Barnes is a known guard developer. I mean, that's something he's understood. He does well with guards. And so you're seeing a lot of guards. When you're talking about BJ Edwards, Casey Wallace, those guys, highly rated guards. And Tennessee is definitely in the mix with those guys. I mean, BJ Edwards is a local kid, obviously. So that's an understandable tie right away. But yeah, I mean, these aren't just pity visits. I mean, these are kids who are legitimately interested in Tennessee and very well could end up here.
Mike Wilson, you're always fantastic, buddy. Tell everybody where they can follow you, your great work, and always read the Big Bird story on your pinned tweet.
Ah, best story I've ever done.
I love
by
it.
Far. On the internet, it's knoxnews.com and govalsextra.com. Then on Twitter, it's @bymikewilson. And I only recommend following if you enjoy bad jokes.
Yes, I would agree with that as well.
Yeah, so I know my wheelhouse.
Thank you for what it's worth. Mike, thanks so much for joining, man. We look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Thank you for having me, man.